I want to thank all those who have served in the military. And if you have served our country in the military, would you stand up right now, if you would please, all over the auditorium. We have several that have done that. We're thankful for you. And what we'd like for you to do is just we'll start up there with Pete. Tell us what branch you served in, okay?
Navy.
Navy, yes, sir. Remain standing. Army. Brother Upton. Navy, two navies. Army. Air Force. Navy. Well, listen, we want to thank you for serving, and we wanted you to remain standing for a reason. We think the rest of us need to give you a big hand for serving our country. Thank you so much. Thank you. You may be seated. We rejoice that you have been willing to sacrifice to help keep this country free. When I think of Memorial Day, I think of that. I always taught my son when he was little, those flags weren't out for him, really. They were in honor of those who had gone on before. And I want to have you take your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 8. We're going to be in different portions of Scripture. But I draw your attention, if you will, please, to 1 Samuel the 8th chapter, if you will, please, and turn there. I want to talk this morning, and I'm going to give a two-part message today on the death of a nation. And when I think the death of a nation, I think of Israel that died as a nation, and I think there is some parallel between what took place in Israel and what's taking place in the United States of America. I'm here to tell you today that I have seen major changes in our country that are not good. I hope you feel that way, because they are not good. And I want to deal with four areas, two of them this morning, and then two of them this evening, if I can. I want to deal, first of all, with the determination to be like other nations. This was Israel's goal. The second goal they had was there was the deficiency in leadership. You're going to find when we turn to Isaiah 3, because they wanted to be like the other nation, there was a deficiency in leadership. Thirdly, there was a decline of military supremacy. Very interesting, when the book of Numbers was written, the very first chapter of the book of Numbers, for they numbered the military. And God wanted them to be a strong nation so that the other nations would fear them. And fourthly, the deterioration of our Christian foundation and of their foundation. So first of all, as you go over there to chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, we notice here, and I want you to notice three things here, the determination to be like other nations. I want you to notice Israel's rejection of God to rule over them. You find that in verse 5. Now, let's just read down to verse 5. And he said to them, "Behold," God is speaking, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now the nation is saying, make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. Very interesting. Look at verse 20. That we also may be like all the nations. Notice that we might be like all the nations. What has made Israel different is that they were a distinct nation that God had raised up. They were different. And I will tell you that America, when it was founded, by the way, it was founded on Christian principles. We're going to deal with that mainly tonight. You realize that the reason why public schools were started is so that children could learn to read so they could study the Bible. And now today, the Bible is not allowed in our school system. How many can remember as a child when you were able to bring a Bible? And the Gideons could come in and give free Bibles. How many remember those days? And you can remember when over the intercom prayer was offered. Determined to be like the other nations. So they decided they wanted a king instead of a prophet. A king, kings were chosen on their heritage. But prophets were chosen on their holiness. He said, we want to be like other nations. So Israel, rejection of God's rule over them, they said, we're going to be like the other nations. Determined, They were determined to lose their distinction. And secondly, they were determined to lose their dignity. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, in verses 11 down to verse 17, you will find a phrase that is repeated in this passage, referring to, we want to have a government that is going to be in charge, and they do everything for us. You'll find a phrase there in verses 11 to 17 that is repeated several times. Notice, if you will, in verse 11. He said, this will be the manner. He said, you want a king? You want to be like all the other nations? This is what's going to happen. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself. Notice the word he will take. You'll find it again in verse 12, and he will appoint. Verse 13, he will take. Verse 14, he will take your fields and your vineyards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. In other words, he'll take the best from those who work hard and give it to those who do nothing. Very interesting. He will take the tenth of your seed and your vineyards and give to his officers. Servants. In other words, there's going to be a raise in taxes. He will take your men servants. He will take, verse 17, he will take. It just on and on, he will take. And so as a result of that, they were destined to lose their dignity. And folks, that's what's happening in America today. We're seeing a time in which people are losing their dignity because everything is taken away from them. Thirdly, not only determined to lose their distinction and destined to lose their dignity, but they were driven to government dependency. Look at verse 20. Very interesting. Look at verse 20. Very key. That we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us, and notice, to fight our battles. We want our government to take care of us. You know, government was never set up to take care of us. Government was set up for protection and order, but never to take care of us. I was raised poor. How many here were raised poor? I was so poor I couldn't pay attention, somebody said. But I remember so well that when I went out, we all worked one time, we were able to do anything, and I remember coming home and saying, Mama, I was cutting some grass, and the lady said, we're poor. Mama, are we poor? She said, yes, son, but we'll get over it. We'll get over it. We didn't know what welfare was. We believed in workfare. We worked for what we had. We didn't have much, but we've lost the dignity of that. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are some cases where people need help, and the way we need to give them help. But there are other cases where, you know, you can pretty well get a cell phone for free. You can get whatever you want, while the rest of us have to pay for it. So I say to you today, Israel, in rejection of God's rule, they were determined to lose their distinction. We're not going to be different anymore. America has been different, amen? It's been a great different nation. They were destined to lose their dignity, because when you lose your distinction, the next thing you do is you lose your dignity. And they said, we'll let the government, he said that phrase here, let the government basically take care of us. Fight our battles, take care of us. You know, I think I see this in America today. I think the nation has changed in the last 10 years in a way that I don't know if we'll ever get the America that we once knew back again. I don't know if that bothers you, but it bothers me. I want you to notice there are six sins that I want to just quickly mention this morning. Six sins by which America is going to have to pay the price for. I want you to go to 2 Chronicles before we get to those, and go to chapter 36. And I want you to notice verse 16 with me, because Israel, because they had lost their distinction as a nation, they had lost their dignity, and now they were dependent upon not doing it themselves. The nation deteriorated rapidly. When you come to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, you look there in the last chapter as this nation goes into deterioration. Look at verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God. God at many times had tried to set warning, to warn the nation that they were going to fall if they weren't careful. And I think we need some preachers today to stand up and others to stand up and say, if we're not careful, we're going to lose this nation. He said, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words. Isn't God's word being despised today? You can bring a book on pornography to a public school, but if they catch you with a Bible, they're going to suspend you from school. And misuse his prophets. And notice the phrase here, underline it, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people. And notice this, till there was no remedy. Wow. God will let a nation go so far as he did Israel, and I believe America is following suit. There are two nations that God raised up, I believe, that had a biblical foundation. One of them is Israel. The other is America. You know, I wish our politicians would study the foundation of our country. Matter of fact, you go to the U.S. Supreme Court today, you see Moses holding the Ten Commandments, the law. You got a coin that says, "In God we trust." We're trying to say we don't need God. And I will tell you, you can do what you want, but you cannot remove God because God is God. He says, look at it again, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there wasn't any remedy. God said, you have crossed the line. We have a statement down south, the Mason-Dixon line. Put it that way, God said, you have crossed the line. I'm not suggesting for a moment that we've crossed the line, but I think we're headed that way. That's why I'm preaching this message. So let me give you quickly this evening, this morning, these six sins for which America must answer. Because we are quickly reaching the line where I think there's going to be a point of no return. Number one, we have an all-moral society. I did not say an immoral society. America has moved from an immoral to an all-moral society. In other words, what you want to do, you can do it today. There's no blush, there's no shame, there's no holding back. Can you imagine you would have thought you would ever see the day when this morning after pill, by the way, don't spell that M-O-R-N-I-N-G, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. We ought to mourn over the fact that they're talking about a pill for the night, morning after, that 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds can have without parental consent. Wow. On and on, I could share with you today these things. Isaiah 6, verse 20 says, we've come to the that Israel had come and were there, that they have called good evil, and what? Evil good. You can take this pill, but if you want to take an aspirin, you at school, you've got to get your parents' permission to take an aspirin, but you can have the morning after pill without parental consent. We have a crazy, demonic society today that has just walked away from God. The pornography industry, the internet, it's rampant today. So we don't have an immoral society, we have an all-moral society. Sin number one. Sin number two is not only an all-moral society, but number two, and the abortion of the unborn and born. Not just the unborn, but I heard a video recently from Planned Parenthood. There's no plan there. Just kill them. And one of the senators asked this lady, said, what happens when a baby is supposed to be aborted? They're not able to abort it, and the baby is born. And she could not say, let's save the life. She said, well, we don't know how far the hospital may be away to save his life. They've got a doctor there. Doctor should save the life of that baby. We just know recently that a doctor who performed and killed babies went to prison. You know, all the abortionists are glad that their parents didn't believe in abortion. That's a second sin. We have killed in this country 50 million human beings. They're not a fetus. Psalm 139 clarifies that they are people. Person that they have killed. Hitler in his World War II, there's over 50 million people killed because of an insane man, we're getting close to doing the same thing. Sin number two, not only do we have an amoral society and the abortion of the unborn, but we have the acceptance of homosexual, of sodomy. I'm going to use the word, of sodomy as a lifestyle. Interesting. In the book of Isaiah, in the third chapter of the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to turn there now, but I'm going to go back to it. In verse 9, he says, "Thou show the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not." They hide it not. We see here the acceptance of sodomy as a lifestyle. I want you to know that God created Adam and Eve, not Eddie and Freddie. Okay? Let's get what the Bible says. You just cannot ignore what God says and get away with it. We see the acceptance of sodomy as a lifestyle. Why do I use the word Sodom? Remember when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Why? Because of sodomy. Fourthly, the attack on Christianity is rapidly increasing. Not around the world, but particularly in America. When I think about that, you know, why Christianity? The name Christ. Who created this world? Jesus Christ created this earth. We're going after Him. We want to get rid of Jesus Christ. Not just God, we want to get God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And so there is not only this acceptance of homosexuality and the abortion of the unborn and the born and the amoral society, but there is the attack on Christianity. I can remember, matter of fact, I can remember going to school as a teenager, and I remember that this young boy who carried his Bible, and he was allowed to. I have a Bible given to me. I still have it in 1948. It was a Gideon Bible brought to school. Now it's illegal. Remember that young man carrying that Bible? By the way, after I got saved, I went to him and I said, "Thank you for carrying that Bible." That convicted me. The very presence of God's Word convicted me, and I needed to be saved. Fifthly, there's the antagonism toward Israel. That's number five. That's a great sin. Do you realize in Genesis chapter 12, God said He will bless the nations that bless Israel and He will curse the nations that curse Israel? Do you realize today that we are turning our backs on Israel, the nation that God said? By the way, if you know the name Harry Truman, thank God for that name. In 1948, President Harry Truman was the first world leader we're going to recognize Israel as a nation. I don't care where you are politically. I thank God this man was touched to help start a nation and back that nation up. And God bless America. By the way, I think there are two main reasons why God has blessed America. Three main reasons. Number one, it's founded on biblical principle, but now we're losing them. Two, we're a nation that has spread the gospel to the world. And number three, we are a nation that recognized and honored Israel. So we have an antagonism toward the country. God said, you go ahead, you cross the line, and you do not support Israel. And by the way, every nation that has attacked Israel has been attacked by God. Germany, Russia, you name it. Number six is the advancement of the Islamic agenda. The advancement of the Islamic agenda. Let me tell you something. Islam is an enemy of Israel, and they're an enemy of Christianity, and they're an enemy of America. Mark it down. You read the Quran, it states in the Quran, I have read it. Their goal is to do away with us who are antagonists, who do not have anything to do with Islam rule. By the way, that Islamic rule would not have been here if it wasn't for Abraham blowing it and having a child they should never have had. I don't know where you were on 9/11. Do you know where you were on 9/11? Because of the Islamic, the terrorist attacks on our country. My son is a pilot. I think I've told this story. And on that day, Tuesday, it was my day off, and I turned the television on, or Marilyn turned it on and said, John, you need to come here. There's something happening. They were bombing they were driving these planes into our buildings. My first question, where's my son? My son's a pilot. He flew into New York on 9/10. He would have stayed in the Marriott, which is in the middle of the World Trade Center. But an hour and a half out that day, when he called to say, are our rooms ready? They said, Tim, we hate to tell you this. We're sending you down to Times Square. He tried to talk him out of that, saved his life. He would have been killed with the rest of them on the floor he was beyond. I'm here to tell you today that these six sins of America are sins that America are going to have to pay for. One other thing is, we, not only do I see the determination to be like other nations, here's Israel, said, we're tired of being different. America said, we're tired of being different. We want government to take care of it. We don't want to do it ourselves. And we're going to go ahead, and government says, fine, we're just going to go ahead and allow these six sins. We don't care what God says. We've thrown the Bible out of our schools. We've thrown a Bible out of our society today. We don't want to hear what God says. You cannot silence God. And we will pay for those six sins unless there is a great repentance. I'm going to deal with that tonight. But secondly, not only there's a determination to be like other nations, we're just going to get rid of God. We know our foundation was founded on Bible. We got in God. We trust on our coins. And we have Moses holding the Ten Commandments. And when we give pledge of the flag, it's one nation what? One nation what? Under God. You know, we're going to have to get rid of all that stuff because we don't want God anymore. And that automatically brings about a deficiency in leadership. Turn with me again to Isaiah 3. Isaiah 3. You know, when I think of leadership, our present president said, this is not a Christian nation. But the implication was it never was. He needs to read the history books. Let me just quote to you what some of our past presidents have said. George Washington said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. You say amen to that? Thomas Jefferson, our third president, the Bible makes the best people in the world. On May 29, 1845, President Andrew Jackson said, this book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests. Abraham Lincoln said, in regards to this great book, referring to the Bible, I have but to say it is the best gift that God has given to man. And all the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. Our 40th president, Ronald Reagan, said, within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face. Will you say amen to that? That's true. The Bible can touch hearts, order minds, and refresh souls. Thank God we've had some that don't agree with our present president. Or those in Congress. Look there. When Israel decided that they would be like the other nations, begin to deteriorate. They begin to lose their dignity. They begin to look to the government for their leadership. You have here, as I finish up only this morning, and we'll go back to it tonight, we see deficiency in leadership that happened to Israel, and I think we see that today. I think Congress today has got the lowest poll ratings it's had. Of course, no one's ever asked me about a poll rating. I'd like to give my opinion. And our president as well and others. Look here. Look what happened to Israel in verses 4 on down here through about verse 12. First of all, he deals with the deficiency of leadership in the Word of God. This happened to Israel, and I see that. He said here, first of all, you have the lack of required ability. You know, in order to govern a country, you need to have certain abilities. We have leaders today that I'm convinced today are brain dead. So most of you know I have a handicapped daughter, lives in a home not far from us. One day we got a letter in the mail, and they're very serious. They said, our Christina has ADD. Well, you normally wouldn't know what you think ADD is. That's not what they said it meant. It means active defiance disorder. That means that Christy will not always obey the rules. No matter what the rules are, Christy has active defiance disorder. I think we got some politicians that have ADD. Active defiance disorder, no matter what God says, because they don't know any better. Look what he says here in verse 4. Here we have a lack of required ability. He said, I will give children to be their princes. The word princess means rulers. And babes shall rule over them. The idea is inability to govern. Inability to, matter of fact, most of our political leaders probably hadn't even read the Constitution. Certainly haven't read the Bible. You want to know how to govern America? You read this book. You read our Constitution. Two good books. It'll help you on how to what our nation stands for. Yeah, but you see, those are old-fashioned. So is the air you breathe, the water you drink. They're old-fashioned. But aren't you glad you have them? Aren't you glad you have water? Aren't you glad you have oxygen? Aren't you glad you have those things that, this, you know, it's old-fashioned, been around for a long time? Without it, for which you will. Children, even babes, in control, meaning they are unlearned and unskilled. We have unskilled and unlearned leadership in our country. When I hear some of the politicians, and you know, I use that word because I remember the days we used to have statesmen in this country, people of character. Secondly, as I go down this list, the lack of required ability, he says here in verse 4, I'll give children to be their princes and babes to rule over them. They won't really have the skills. I see these young men here today. It would be nice if one day they could be some leaders in our country. Wouldn't you think that would be good to have these four, not him, of course, but these four right here? But you wouldn't want them to do it now. They're not ready. But I believe they probably know more about the leadership of this country and some of the people that are in our politicians. I'm preaching this morning because I have a burden. This is not a political message. This is a biblical message. This is in the Bible. Secondly, a lack of respect for others. Look at verse 5. Here you see not only a lack of required ability, but there's a lack of respect for others. And the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the agent. Now, unfortunately, Brother Don, that's you and me. Brother Harvey, that's you. Brother Smith, that's you. Oh, that's probably getting around to be you. That we're here, agent, as far as the world is concerned. We're agent. Lack of respect for the older folk as well as the proudly against the agent and the base against the honorable, those who deserved credit and honor. That's why I very seldom see a soldier that don't stop and shake his hand and say, thank you for serving. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here as far as a free country goes. But now we realize that they're not honored at all, many of them. Thirdly, not only do we see lack of required ability, we unlearned, unskilled, something like Christina with ADD. Lack of respect for others. I've never seen such a lack of respect that people have for one another. You know, when a woman comes into a room, men are supposed to stand up. Hello? come into the building, you take your hat off. On and on I go, oh, we those thugs are old-fashioned. Lack of respect for the law enforcement officers. I remember years ago, I was driving down a road and freeway, and I was breaking the speed limit. Fell in front of me, breaking the speed limit, and policeman pulled us all over. I could tell he was must have been fairly new at this, and as he pulled us over, I, of course, got my driver's license, and you know what we normally say, I didn't know I was speeding. How many have ever done that? Didn't know I was going that fast. Well, I knew I was. But I noticed that the guy in the car in front of me was shaking his fist at that police officer, cussing him out. When he came back to me and I gave him that, I said, sir, I'd like to have your badge number. He looked at me and he said, what you want that for? Almost stuttered. I said, sir, I want to write a letter of commendation thanking you for being there to keep us safe from one another. I thought he was going to lose his teeth. You see, we have come to a place in our society today there is lack of respect. I remember being at a ball game. We had at our school, of course, when I was in Santa Maria, we had football, and so sitting on the bleachers, and I remember a young man in front of me, and he had enough hair to do it. He had his hat on. We stood up to do the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. When that fella didn't take that hat off, I took it off. Little hair with it. You know why? Because that flag represents something. Respect. We're losing it. Thirdly, a lack of responsibility. Verse 6 and 7 deals with that. Not only do we see a lack of required ability, a lack of respect for others, but a lack of responsibility. Look there in verse 6. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou a ruler, and let this, notice the phrase, let this ruin be under thy hand. In other words, all the troubles I have, it's your problem, it's not mine to solve. We'll let the government do it. I don't find that in the Bible. I don't find that in dignity. My daddy left us when I was 2. Never paid a day of alimony or child support, I mean. Mom said, we'll make it. Somebody suggested to her we do some things. That, of course, the government wasn't very big back in those to get those things back in the late 40s, early 50s. But I remember, and she said, we're going to be just fine. You know, we never went out a meal. We didn't have the bet. By the way, I'm tired of standing in line at the food stores when the people in front of me have the food stamps that are buying better stuff than I can afford. There's something wrong with that. Things I couldn't afford. But it's okay. For me, I'll buy what I can afford. Amen? Lack of responsibility. He said, let this ruin be under your hand, not under. Listen, no, everybody wants to blame everybody else for what's going on in society today. No one wants to take any responsibility. Let this rule, let the things that are happened to me that are, let my bankruptcy be your problem. Let my financial problem be. No, it's my problem. It's mine. Number four. Not only do we see a lack of required ability, just unskilled leaders, lack of respect for others, lack of responsibility. Let all the things that, listen, let's not worry about working for it. Let everybody else take care of it. Let them pay the bill. And I guess I'm a little tired also that if somebody has any money, they're almost looked down on this society. Not that I have any. Well, if these people earn them, praise the Lord for it. They worked hard, hallelujah. But we want to take it from them and give it to those who refuse to work. Number four is a lack of reverence toward God. That's number four on the list here. This is what happened to Israel, and this is what is happening to us. Look there in verse 8. For Jerusalem is ruined. Remember back there in 1 Samuel chapter 8, they said, we're going to be like the other nations. Well, now here they are. They've become like the other nations, and the other nations have destroyed them. Verse 8 goes on to say, and Judah has fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. Wow. And to provoke the eyes of his glory. What a statement. Lack of reverence toward God. I remember when our vice president said words, filthy stuff came out. He thought they were off the air. And he let out some words that our leaders should not say. And he used the Lord's name in vain. I'm going to tell you something. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Payday someday. We see here, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. Abortion, homosexuality, immorality, antagonism toward Israel. On and on goes the list. Attack on Christianity. A lack of reverence toward God. Even before I came to know the Lord as my Savior, I feared God. You know why I feared God? Because first of all, I feared my mother. You know, in certain states now, it is a sin. It is against the law to spank children. I think Vermont or New Hampshire is one of them now. My mama would have gone to jail. She had three of us. She had to raise. She said, I remember her whipping me, and she said, you're going to turn out right if it kills me. I always thought, Mama, why are you making that statement? It's not hurting you. It's killing me. But I know what she meant. I can remember my mouth washed out with Fels Napta soap for using language I should never have used. Boy, today they'd want to put them in prison. Because you see, today society says the parents do not own the child. I've got news for you. The child still belongs to the parent, given to them by God. Number five, in verse 9, not only do we see a lack of required ability, lack of respect for others, lack of responsibility, lack of reverence for God, but a lack of restraint towards sin. Verse 9, I've read that verse, but read it again. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and declare their sin as Sodom. They don't hide it anymore. Here we have athletes coming out, bragging about their sodomy. Recently, and that's made a big deal. You do wrong today, your name can get in the newspaper pretty good as a hero. Look at verse 9. They hide it not. Woe unto the soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. There's the answer. We face the many crises in our country because of these things. Not only do I see a lack of required ability, a lack of respect for others, a lack of responsibility, a lack of reverence toward God, a lack of restraint toward sin, but number 6, a lack of righteous rulers. Look at verse 12 as I close. Drop down. He says, as for my people, children are their oppressors. Unskilled people. And women rule over them. Now, the feminist movement. Ladies, do not get involved in the movement that is against God. God has a high position. No higher position can be for a woman to be a homemaker and a mother. You say amen to that? That's God's program. He says, and the women will rule over them. O my people, they which lead their cause, the cause to err and destroy the ways of thy paths. You know what the paths here refer to? The old paths of the Bible. We have come with new paths today that are destroying. I'm praying for it. By the way, as I close this morning, I know this is not a typical message I preach. God laid this on my heart, and I'll finish it tonight, but let me make sure you understand something. When Israel fell as a nation, God will one day, and already has made them a nation, and one day Israel will be the greatest nation that ever existed. You're listening to me? But America is not in Bible prophecy. It's nowhere to be found. And America is going, if it keeps going the way it's going, it's going to be just like the other nations of the past that no longer exist. And the ashes of its sin will lie there smoking away. Was a nation that was once founded on Bible principle. None, I want to talk about Harvard and Yale. Do you ever hear of Harvard and Yale? How many have heard of Harvard and Yale? You realize those were schools started so that people would learn the Bible? Oh, they really were? Yeah, I've got proof on that. Father, I pray this morning as we close this service. I felt that we need to let our people think more seriously of the shape America's in today. I love America, and I thank God for it. And Father, I don't know where each one is this morning, but Lord, maybe just some folks just need to come and say, God, I've just overlooked the sins of America. I need to realize today that America's in shape. I haven't prayed for our country lately. I pray for our president daily, our vice president. I pray by name all 9 judicial chief justices, Supreme Court. I pray for the South Carolina governor, because that's where I'm from, and for the senators. And we need to pray for our country.